Hey guys, welcome back to Mindset Managed, the podcast for mental health, talking about life and living your best confident life. Today I wanted to talk about remembering who you are. For as long as I can remember, I've wanted to be a writer. Ever since I was a little girl, I've been telling my mom stories, and then when she gave me a notebook, I began writing them. And I've not stopped. But there have been other things that I have identified with that have changed over time. Believe it or not, I used to be an athlete. I was sure that I'd be in the Olympics and that I'd win gold medals. Anyone who knew me back then when I was younger would attest to the fact that I was the strong, fast one. I was so confident in myself and my ability to be the strongest and the fastest person in any room, on any track, on any sport. In competitions, we would start at the starting line and I would be confident that I would win that race. But things changed. I don't know what really happened. I kind of grew bored of it. I changed, I guess, and, you know, many people do. Another thing that has changed about me is that I once would have identified with being highly intelligent and studious. I was a real Ravenclaw back in the day. I wasn't exactly the teacher's pet who would confidently put my hand up to answer questions or get straight A's or anything like that, but I knew things and I knew that I knew them and I never worried about failing tests. But again, that changed. Once I dropped out of university, this idea of myself changed. I stopped believing that I was intelligent, studious, academic, or destined for greatness. I started to doubt whether that was true about me at all. And again, this is okay. This is normal. Things change. People change. But that doesn't mean that those parts of you are completely gone now. I may not have the body for it anymore, but I do feel excited by and a yearning for strength and agility. I still want my body to be able to do cool and extraordinary things. So I may not be the athlete who wants to win gold medals anymore, but I'm still a woman who wants to use her body to the fullest. It's just that somewhere along the way, I forgot that that was a part of who I am. That I didn't have to do or be that thing to the extreme for it still to be a part of me. The same goes for being studious and intelligent. Somewhere along the line, I started to equate intelligence and academia with having a degree from a university. Even better, a reputable university. But this was a lie that I told myself and began to believe. In actuality, there are many layers to intelligence. There isn't one set form of intelligence or higher thinking. And to be fair, knowledge and intelligence are not the same thing either. Knowledge, at least the way I see it, is facts and figures. It's knowing your stuff like that. But intelligence is how you think, the way that you think. And therefore, there are so many different types of intelligence. Having a degree, which is fundamentally an expression of knowledge, does not mean that you are intelligent or that you are of a higher intelligence than those without a degree. And being a studious person does not have to involve formal education at all. I've always been, and I still am, a studious person. I research and self-educate and read and organise and collect information religiously. I mean, duh, I'm a writer. I have many interests, and so I teach myself about many topics all the time. It's just somewhere along the line I stopped identifying with being intelligent or studious because I dropped out of formal education. I felt unworthy of those titles. I compared myself to those who I do know that have degrees and decided that I was less than. But when I really truly think about it, and when I remember who I am, I realise that I'm still an intelligent person. I'm still a hard-working person. And, like I said before, I'm still a person who wants and is able to use my body in extraordinary ways. But both my body and my mind are much more capable than I give them credit for. So why is it that we kind of forget who we are, that we lose sight of who we are? I've come up with a few ideas. The first one is that there's a change in circumstance. So like me, I stopped doing competitions, formal athletic competitions, and I stopped doing physical education at school after my GCSEs were complete. So it kind of became the norm that I didn't need to be as fit and as healthy and as strong as I used to be. And so I stopped identifying with that part of myself. There was a change in circumstance that made me forget who I was and what I was good at. And the same goes for when I was a student. As soon as I stopped being a student, I started to think, oh, I'm not as intelligent as I thought. I'm not as hardworking as I thought. When really, just because the circumstances have changed does not mean that you yourself has necessarily changed, or that those skills and those traits that you had can't be used in a different way for other things. Another thing is comparison to others. So like I said, I started to worry that I wasn't very intelligent because my friends had got degrees and completed their degrees and got good jobs and I hadn't. So naturally, of course, by comparison, I must be the less intelligent of the two. But that's not true at all. When we compare ourselves to others, we start to see ourselves from a kind of lacking standpoint, and we don't really see the full picture, that we don't have the right perspective. If we look on the inside and we forget about other people, we realize that we have a lot to give, and that what we think is wrong or bad or less than is actually very abundant, very good and worthy. Another thing is fear. So if I'm afraid that I'm not going to have a very good life, I'm not going to be able to publish my books, I'm not as smart as I need to be, then I'm going to look at myself from a scarcity mindset. I'm going to have that mindset of, I am not enough, I am not enough. So that fear is kind of changing the narrative of who I am. It's telling me that I'm something else, that I'm not good enough, that those traits that I once had are no longer in use. When if I clear away the fear and look at myself objectively and see the truth of who I am, again, I will see that I'm more capable than I thought I was. Another thing that makes us kind of forget who we are is when we try to fit in and belong with the wrong people. Sometimes we cut ourselves down and try to fit a shape that's just not for us. We so want to be accepted by other people that we change who we are, or that we shrink and hide and pretend to be something that we're not. Sometimes we do this consciously and sometimes we don't, but that's still a part of us that can be remembered if we take a step back and realise, okay, why should I change who I am just to fit in with people? People should love me as I am and take me as I am, respect me and appreciate me as I am. And if they don't, then they're not the right people for me. That is what real belonging is. You won't have to hustle for self-worth, to use Brené Brown's words, if you are with the right people. Which leads me on to my next point, which is your environment. If you change your environment, like I said, with changing your circumstance, then that can affect who you are and how you act. And that can affect what you believe to be true about yourself as well. Another thing is failure and setbacks. So I believe that if something that you failed in is directly associated with something that you identify with, then you can start to believe that you're obviously not good enough to be that thing. So for me, like if I identified with being intelligent and then say I failed the test, then that would help me to believe that I'm not intelligent, that I don't deserve to be intelligent. Just as if you were an athlete and you failed a race, you might not think that you're as good of an athlete anymore, because it directly correlates with something that you identify with. So be careful with what you identify with, and be careful what you allow yourself to decide means something when you fail or have a setback. Don't let failures and setbacks mean anything about you personally. It doesn't change who you are. We all face failures and setbacks. It shouldn't change who we are. And the last one is that sometimes other people tell us who we are, or tell us that we should be or do something else. And again, that can affect how we think and feel about who we are and what we're doing, because we suddenly start to doubt whether it's right or not. We suddenly start to act like we're somebody else, or we should be doing something else, which is very, very sad for me. And I hope that it's not something that you're suffering with at the moment, because who you are, remembering who you are and holding true to who you are is so important. And it's even more important that you don't allow other people to decide who you are for you. So those are the ways that perhaps we start to forget who we are or change who we are. But now it's time to discuss some ideas about how to remember who you are. So the first thing that I wrote down is that you should spend more time alone. It's going to be hard for you to know who you are, to trust who you are, to be confident in who you are, if you don't ever spend any time alone. Not because we can't be our true selves with other people, of course we should be ourselves with other people, but we feel a stronger sense of connection to ourselves and understanding of ourselves when we spend more time alone, because it's just us and our thoughts, us and our feelings, you know? We're more attentive to our actions and our intentions. So the more time that you spend alone, the more that you'll realize who you are, what you want, what you think all the time, why you do what you do and why, you know? These are important things to know about yourself, and I truly believe that you will get the best knowledge, the best self-knowledge by spending time alone. The next thing to do when you're trying to remember who you are, who you used to be, what is the true you that you are, is to ask yourself what you wanted to do or be when you were younger. I've started a new job and so I've been trying to get to know people, and I always ask them, so what's your story? You know, have you been to university? Have you been to college? What did you study? Why did you study it? What did you want to be when you were younger? I think that's a real important question, because yes, some people have an idea of what they want to do when they're young and they never pursue it, and that's fine. But some of us, we really do decide early on the very true, very beautiful idea of what we want our lives to be. I don't believe that my quote-unquote childhood dream of being an author is ever going to go away, because it's a very real dream. It's something that is totally achievable if I put my heart and soul into it. And if I were to forget who I was, then I might forget that that's what I really want. I might start working for somebody who is fine or whatever, but I'm not truly happy there, because I have this yearning, this underneath belief that I could do or be something else. And so that would be me forgetting who I am. And the way to remember who I am is to remind myself, okay, so what did I want to do when I was younger? So if you're struggling with remembering who you are, ask yourself, what did you want to do when you were little? Or even like, you know, a few years ago, like 5 years ago, did you have ideas of what you wanted to do that you haven't done them? It's going to be anything from a career that you wanted to pursue, or a course that you wanted to study, or a hobby that you wanted to try. Maybe it's a destination you wanted to travel to. Ask yourself, what did you want? What did you envision for yourself when you were younger? And is it possible to reconnect with that idea, to pursue that idea, to make those dreams come true? Another thing to do is to ask yourself if there is any part of who you used to be that still lingers today. And can you reignite it? So like I said, I do believe that in a way, the athlete is still inside me. And if anybody who knows me today would be like, I don't think you're an athlete at all, Shana. But I still believe that she's in there, that fiery, competitive, sporty, strong, trusting person is still in me. And that person doesn't need to go away. I don't need to decide that person can never live within me again. There is a part of me that's still there. And by asking myself, do I want to reignite that? I can take the steps forward to say, okay, so I need to start doing more exercise so I can get my body into better shape, you know. Maybe I could join a sports team. Maybe I could do, you know, one of those running competitions that are held for charity to be able to push myself out of my comfort zone. I already did the Wolf Run last year, and that was an amazing achievement. And I did that whilst I was at my heaviest body weight. So to be able to do little things like that will remind me and to reconnect with the athlete that used to be there. Something that I still believe is a part of me. So ask yourself if there's anything that you used to be or used to do that's still inside of you, that's still quietly whispering to you. And if you can ignite it, do so. And I bet it will feel really great to remember that part of who you are, to reignite that part of who you are. If you can't do or be something every day, like in your career or whatever else, then try to incorporate it into your week as a hobby instead. This way you'll keep that important part of you alive. I understand that sometimes you have to do what you have to do. You have to work a job that perhaps you don't love, but you know, it pays the bills, it's all right, you know, you got good people to work with. I understand that that's a part of what you've got to do, and that working usually takes up a lot of time. But that doesn't mean that there's not enough time in your week or in your day to do other things that bring you joy. So for example, I'm obviously a writer. If I was to work full-time, 9 to 5, that doesn't mean that I should stop writing. I should try and find some time in the evenings or on the weekends to still write, to keep that part of me alive. It doesn't have to be something that you're paid for, but it can be something that you bring into your week actively, intentionally, in order to keep that part of you alive, to be happy because you're associating with that key part of who you are, that key part of what makes you you. And the last thing that I would say to help you to remember who you are is to meet and associate with like-minded people. we are influenced by our surroundings, and that includes, like, you know, where we live, who we live with, where we work, who we work with, the people in our life. They say that we are the sum of the five people we spend the most time with. So be careful with those people, be selective of those people. Are those people reflecting the best of you? Are they bringing out the best of you? Are they supporting you? Or are they hindering you? Are they setting you back? Be careful and be aware of that, because it will influence who you are by who you associate with. So don't be afraid to be who you are. Don't orphan parts of yourself to fit in or be accepted. Express yourself authentically and you will feel happier in life. We shouldn't cling to the past or try to return to it. That's not the point of this podcast. I'm saying that who we are and who we were and even who we will be at times are one and the same. There are patterns and connections that indicate a key piece of your character that keeps showing up, wanting to be brought to life. You will constantly feel ill at ease and uncomfortable, maybe even agonized and tormented, if you ignore, suppress, or lose parts of who you are. Don't hold on to things that need to let go, but do pay attention to what needs to stay. Be careful not to neglect the pieces of yourself that make you the happiest, that make you the realest, best you that there is. Remember who you are and be that person on your own terms. So that's today's podcast for you guys. I just wanted to reiterate that some of us forget who we are. Some of us intentionally try to change who we are. But in remembering who we are and embracing who we are, we will be our truest, happiest, healthiest self. So if you're ever in a weird state of feeling lost or unsure, unconfident, maybe even genuinely ill because you're feeling low or anxious, it might be because you've lost sight of who you are. You've lost sight of why you're doing what you're doing. It might be that you need to reconnect with who you used to be, reconnect with who you really truly are, instead of wearing a mask, instead of pretending to be something else or hiding who you are. So I truly believe that you need to take a look, spend some time alone and reconnect with that person. Date yourself, get to know yourself again and bring that person to life. Take care, guys. I'll speak to you next week. Bye.